you know?
Well, I know.
I mean, not, not.
All right, you ready to go, Karen? All right, it is the appointed hour of 11:30. We're running a little bit behind. This is the Recreation Committee. All my committee members are here. So we will start with the approval of the minutes from the February 1st meeting.
So moved. Second.
We have a first and a second. And any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Second area is the area of public comment. Part of our new agenda items for everybody. So if anybody would like to make a statement or speak about anything, not just recreation, if you have something on your mind. If not, I see none, so we will move on. Rental fee, where is our executive, I mean our Mr. Director?
Kim is on vacation
not
right now.
Not that we don't like
him. That's okay. Thank you for allowing me to be here. But okay, Kim is on vacation right now. Okay. He's down in Clewiston, Florida, doing some fishing with his brother.
Oh, my goodness. Very good for him. All right. So we've got you instead, and we're happy to have you. So now, next item is our rental fee waiver request.
Yes, sir. We have two waiver requests. First one is from the East Cooper Faith Network. They are requesting to use the Marion Brown Center on April 22nd and 23rd. It says each year our board gets together for a retreat to review the past and plan for the future. They just would like to meet at Marion Brown Center on April 22nd, 23rd. The facility is available, they're requesting a fee waiver. The fee is only $25, so you know, there is a $25 key deposit, which we would recommend that they still pay for the key deposit, which they would get back after the fee is returned. There's no staffing for the facility, and they went to the Marion Brown.
It's their responsibility to open and close with that key.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll move if we approve that.
Second. All right. First and second, and Tom Galt is here. He's the director of that outfit. Do you have anything you want to say, Tom? Or
No, just that, you know, we appreciate the partnership that we have with the Panama Pleasant for that. We also moved that center in conjunction with the Recreation Department during the summertime for our summer enrichment program. Educating, help summer learning loss, or decrease summer learning loss during the summer camp. So we have a summer camp that we do there as well.
Very good. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Number B is the Wounded Warriors for the Signia Softball Field June Center.
That's correct. There is a request to use the Signia Softball Field June Center on September 9th and 10th, 2016. It's going to fall. We have a relationship with them. We've done in the past where they are. Hold a tournament to raise funds. I do not know, I believe they have a specific wounded warrior that they are trying to benefit for in this case. Again, it would be a waiver of the rental fees. There is staffing for the fields that they would pay for the that they have to have out there, the public services and field supervisors.
Need a motion on that?
Move for approval.
Second.
Any discussion? Anybody want to speak on this, or anybody here? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Thank you. We're into the budget, as we have been with every committee, so
yes,
Eric,
sir.
I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, and Steve is here to help as well. Salaries, we're asking for no new positions in the Recreation Department for next year. So the salary increase is related to the wage plan, and we discussed the health insurance cost being now shown in each respective department budget. Contractual services, we have some things being moved in there from other line items. One key item in that row is a recreation master plan update for next year. That cost is associated with that line item. We have a decrease in the camp contractual services, which is just more than halfway down the page. Our camp revenues, this expenditure amount needs to match our revenues, and our revenues are coming in a little less than what was budgeted for, a lot less than what was budgeted for the current fiscal year. So we're showing a $135,000 number, which is much more representative of actual revenues being received. Big item, in addition to the ones mentioned, if you'll turn the pages at 98 and 99, you will see a large investment being proposed in our recreation facilities.
Okay.
get there as well. There we go. A lot of maintenance in here. I'm going to go right down the list from maintenance on our tennis courts to painting the interior and exterior of the Park West Pool. It's in fairly bad shape. And some other things, some elevator maintenance, staining the Park West Pavilion inside and out needs to be done. It's been too long. That's one of the larger costs in this budget. You also see the clay tennis courts, some top dressing, and there's some additional information in here on that. It's a cost of $22,000. If you flip the page, you'll see some more information as to things that are happening, repairs and maintenance. You see an annual type thing for our senior center exercise equipment and some repairs at our Jones Center and Park West Pool. So a lot of maintenance items in your general fund budget there for recreation. If you flip back to the main page here, if you flip to the next one, and by the way, it should be noted that many of the costs here in our programs and athletics have a corresponding revenue. So we're getting the money in on the revenue side, okay, to balance off much of the cost. But as you also know, revenues don't meet our total recreation budget. Let's see, if you go to page 106, which is the very last page of this budget. We have some work to do at our pools. They're the two biggest items of the three listed. We have to replace the six heaters at the Park West Pool. It's time. It's starting to malfunction, not working properly. And the big item in this budget is the Dectron unit that's required to run the Jones Center. This thing is running on Band-Aids. This thing goes down, and we've got a big problem with being able to operate the Jones Center pool. These things take lead time in ordering them. And so that's a major item in the budget for recreation for next year.
What exactly does a Dectron do?
Steve? It control regulates the temperature and humidity of the pool area. Okay.
And so this must be the whole shebang.
That is the whole shebang, yes. So it is a big job. And I can also tell you, it continues in needed repair. This past winter, it was down for a while.
Yeah.
But we actually had to turn on an old boiler that we had that hadn't operated in over a decade. We were a little scared,
yeah.
But it all worked, everything worked well, and it kept the pool heated for a while for us while we were trying to get this thing repaired. So it was a Band-Aid that we were using in the meantime.
Have we done any preliminary ordering of this?
No, we have not. It would be a major bid item. We would have to go out for bid. We'd have to provide a scope of work. We have gotten cost estimates that we use to produce create the budget. But that would have to be put together. We use a scope of work that we're purchasing to put out for bid.
Have several vendors that will bid on it?
The price quotes that we have from one vendor, just to get a price quote so we have an idea amount. We increased the amount in the budget above that, just in case Dectron is a specific unit. And we may or may not, after a scope of work is developed, want to go with the exact same unit. There may be new technology, and then we will have to have a consultant actually be able to help us decide what is the best unit for the full facility now. And so we should have enough in there to be able to handle it.
So the pool is not that old that it can't be connected? It can't be, even a newer unit could be connected to our old facility.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, anything would be able to be
adopted. Okay, thanks.
It's on the roof.
Yeah,
it's on the space.
Recreation impact fees, if you flip to the impact fee tab, page 152. Not much of a story here. We're expecting almost $56,000 in revenues, and we are proposing no expenses, but instead to take that money as it comes in and use it to supplement our fund balance for the future. If there is a item you wish to buy in the future, you'll have money. We're banking on it. Hospitality tax, please flip back a couple tabs, and it's page 138. Page 138 shows the 15% of hospitality tax money attributed to recreation, and all of it is involved in CIP projects. And so, if you'll flip to the very last page of the book, that legal sheet, this is a better way. This describes those capital projects better.
Which page?
Oh, very last sheet.
Always in the back. Oh, I'm sorry.
Because those
ones are
Those items in hospitality tax are here. They're housed here as well. And there are two items for recreation, dead center of the grid. And you'll see the Jones Center comprehensive renovation and how that's funded, and the athletic field drainage improvements. And we have several fields. Do you know how many? Five fields?
There's $500,000 that's in there. We should be able to get six fields, if not seven, for that. Normally, the finger drainage for the field is under $75,000 a piece. We should be able to get five or six, not seven.
And so what's in the budget next year are more fields to see drainage improvements. Of course, you may decide to change that based on the next agenda item, which is a report on turf field. If you decide to move towards a turf field, I would recommend to you that you reduce the number of fields receiving the drain and put it towards that, because it's a high dollar up.
Just a revenue question. Mm-hmm. The shortfall in rec now, do you have a handle on what that is?
Well, we could tell you, sir, just by, if we look at the recreation total, this will give us a pretty good approximate. You know, we have some special fund money that goes back and forth a little.
Right.
But if you were to adopt the rec budget as presented at $6.8 million, if you go to the revenues.
First tab.
Yeah, revenues, this page 4. What did I say? 6.8 was the expenditure, and I'm just adding up real fast here.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 4 now. 2.1, I'd say 2.5 is the revenue, roughly. So it's 4.3 is the shortfall.
So we're still in the 4 plus million?
Yes, sir. It's likely larger than that, because I just did a quick on the
right.
General fund and not the capital. If you want to throw in the capital side, too, it'd be here.
Okay. Anything else on
that? No, sir. For your consideration.
Okay, we need a motion, and then we'll discuss it.
Sure. One quick question. As we did in transportation, when's the last time we looked at our recreation impact fees, and do we need to, like we were doing, like I think we said we just look at all our impact fees, just to make sure that they meet our needs?
You know, the recreation impact fee, we looked at it, but not in the way that you're asking about a year or so ago, because we were giving, with the growth management plan, we were giving a waiver to developers who provided some kind of recreation amenities.
Right.
That's been removed. As far as the level of the fee itself, it's been several years of concern.
Okay.
Unless you recall anything, I know Mr. Garge, you had shared recreation, and I don't recall us looking at it for a few years. Is that about right?
Right.
We revised the fee schedule here.
We've increased the fees, individual fees for different sports or programs twice in the past 6 years. But as far as an overall impact fee from a development coming in?
Right. Yeah. So I would like to say in the motion if necessary that as we look at all our impact fees, could we include recreation impact fees? Doesn't mean we're going to change them or do anything, but let's just see if they meet our needs if they're current. We'd like to put out a form of a motion.
Can we do that in the same scope that we did the other impact fees? Or
yes, sir, absolutely.
I can't remember how we left that this morning. Were we just looking at transportation?
Or? Well, I think the idea was for us, for staff, to bring back an analysis of all of them. And I think maybe with the budget where it is in the process, even if we have to maybe delay a couple and go for the big one like transportation, there's intricacies all, especially with transportation, but maybe we'll do that first and get to the others. But a simple motion to say, hey, staff's all working on this, and we can bring it all together at once. Perfect. But if not, I think we have a feel for how you'd like to
see more. Do you want to make a motion, or do you want to just let it go with that?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to empower direct staff to do that without, I agree, transportation would probably come first without, this is not a huge, huge impact of this work looking at. And get back to us in time, you know, just whether they're adequate.
I second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's good. You know, the great irony is, in our prior strategic plan, we had an action item to explore whether even impose recreation fees anymore. At the time that was drafted, with a recession, we weren't getting any.
Right.
And now it's just amazing how a few years later, things are moving along so quickly.
Steve, you have anything to add to the budget part of this?
No, we're very excited about hopefully getting the Vectron unit approved and being able to get that. I know our main staff will be very excited about that if that can occur. Thank you.
Joe, you want to step forward? Come on up. I'm sorry, the budget. We've got to vote on the budget. I'm sorry. I need a motion to approve the budget as presented.
I'll move to that motion. And I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion more?
Just one.
Go ahead, you go first.
My question is, and I think I heard the answer, but I want to make sure. How does a decision on turf fields affect passing this budget? Is that what you're going to ask?
That's part of it, which I was going to ask once we got to the budget.
What we'd ask for is go ahead and approve the budget.
Okay.
And if after your approval, the decision's made to say move forward with the turf field, we would give you a recommendation on how to fund it. And if doing so, well, any recommendation on how to fund it, because it's not in the budget, would require some amendments.
Okay.
If that was your will, we would bring it back to the next budget committee of council meeting, move that amendment. We would say, hey, you approved, recreation committee approved that budget. If there was a movement towards a turf field, so we'd like to add this to the budget to fund it.
That's satisfying.
Well, my only question was, are we doing anything in this budget that's going to help us any faster with the sewer for Carroll Park?
No, we are moving as quickly as possible.
That's separate from this budget?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. All right, we're on to the next item, which is report on synthetic turf fields. Joe, you want to come forward?
Steve's got a presentation. I'm here to ask
you. Okay, very good. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. And then after calling Jody possibly, but I have a presentation on synthetic turf fields. I'm not sure if you know. Okay, here we go. Just give you an overview. This report was put together by the Recreation Department and Public Services on the use of synthetic fields by the Recreation Department, by Recreation Departments across the state of South Carolina. And potential synthetic field locations here in Mount Pleasant. We'll also go over the cost estimates for installing a synthetic turf field, the pros and cons of synthetic turf fields, and alternate options. Just so you know, a background on this, in 2014 and 2015, as you're probably aware, we had significant amounts of rain, higher rain levels than are normal in the area. Had a lot of rainouts in 2014-15. So as a result, in the summer of 2015, we installed Cambridge drainage on 5 different fields, three soccer fields, football field at Park West, and a baseball field at Park West. The new systems dramatically improved drainage on most of the fields, however, improvements were less significant on the Park West field, primarily due to the soil conditions. So the soil there, when it rained, puddles would go and they would go away and clear up, but the soil just held it like a sponge over there on the football field. And it did not drain as well as the other fields. Synthetic turf was suggested as a way to reduce the number of rainouts in the department. There's a rainout comparison from 2014 and 2015, just kind of showing some of the impact of the Cambridge drain. In 2014, our numbers are right here. In 2015, on the 3 Sherwood Flowers fields, they were reduced significantly, and you'll notice that not as much, or actually they increased on the baseball field and football field. But I do have to point out that 8 of these days in 2015 with the major storm were complete washouts. We had complete washouts where none of our fields were available. They weren't available anywhere across the town. So minus those 8 days, this would go down to 5 on these other ones and so forth on the down to 7 for the football field and 8 for the baseball field. We did Jimmy did a survey of 27 departments across the state. and finding out who is using synthetic turf. And there are two facilities that use synthetic turf. Rock Hill uses it, Manchester Meadows. It's a soccer complex. And Grand Park in Myrtle Beach. They have softball, soccer, and lacrosse that they hold.
So when you say a complex, how many fields is that?
The complex has, I believe, at Manchester Meadows, there are 10 fields.
Two
synthetic turf fields, but I think they have
about 8 to 10 red turf fields.
Yeah.
Correct.
Two synthetic turf fields, and they have 9 synthetic turf fields at Grand Park, Myrtle Beach. Both of those facilities were designed primarily for hosting tournaments, although they do have limited recreation use. So when we're not hosting a tournament, the recreation department does use it for recreational sports. Of the 27 departments contacted, there were no other departments using synthetic turf or considering synthetic turf fields. We looked at three existing locations for synthetic turf fields. Park West Track, which is about 91,000 square feet. And the square footage comes into play on the cost estimates later. Most of the cost estimates were based on the Park West Track at the 91,000 square feet. As the field gets larger, the cost goes up. It's roughly around $9 a square foot for increases in that. The Park West football field is 97,540 square feet, and the Carolina Park Field 1, possibly setting something up over at Carolina Park. You could use some improved drainage over there as well. Future fields, we also looked at. Carolina Park, in our master plan for Carolina Park, we have a baseball field scheduled to go in over there. It's 125,000 square feet, so as you can imagine, it'll be more expensive. Carolina Park, one of the additional rectangular fields over there. Part of the master plan has two women's softball fields, one large baseball field, and an additional rectangular field.
Is that the undeveloped?
Right? That is the undeveloped field, right. Which would be an area where you'd probably get your most bang for your buck in a synthetic turf field, because it would be everything that you spend on a synthetic turf field for a new field will be in additional facilities, additional stuff that you're able to use, rather than replacing the existing. And then, of course, the Rifle Range Road. I mean, depending on how that turns out, we're still in very early stages of master planning on that. But for a future field over there, maybe a potential location. Synthetic field cost estimates. We met with Carolina Green Athletic Field Construction, and they provided the following cost estimates that we've gone over. They include erosion control measures, excavation of the soil, subsurface drainage, stone base, synthetic turf, which has an 8-year warranty on it. 8-year warranty doesn't mean it has to be replaced in 8 years. A lot of it depends on how well it's controlled, how the access to the field, the elements, its exposure to the elements, how will you maintain the rules of gum, food, drinks, high heels, chairs, access to the field. It provides one set of football markings for the field and one sweep master turf brush. It's a piece of equipment that is needed for the field. The cost estimates for a rectangular field, again, this is the Park West Track, the 91,000 square feet, is $850,000. For a diamond, a full-size diamond, is $1,100,000. And for the diamond infield only, is $269,000. That price does not include the following items that are below there. With those, you would also have between $50,000 and $100,000 for engineering design, stormwater implementation, $8,000 to $12,000 per sport for additional markings. So the additional markings, the $850,000 is for a football marking. So depending on how you wanted to use that field, if you wanted to use it for football, you'd have football markings. If you also wanted to have soccer, different size soccer, men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse, you could have all of those markings on there. Of course, as you add more markings, it becomes a bit more jumbled in there and hard to tell. But if you you can add markings at $8,000 to $12,000 per sport if you choose to do so. The price does not include a perimeter security fence, and that's important for controlling access to the field, because with a synthetic turf field, you need to maintain control. Just like the other facilities at Manchester Meadows and Myrtle Beach, controlling access is important because it is for the players, coaches, and officials only. Usually people do not go on the field. They don't allow high heels. You can't bring lawn chairs up there on the turf. They control what kind of drinks and that kind of stuff that goes on the field. So having a security perimeter fence is very important. And it's probably not a chain link fence. It's just depending on how you wanted to secure it aesthetically around the field. Performance does not include performance or payment bonds, builder's risk insurance, utility removal, replacement adjustments, or local permitting fees. Replacement costs.
Can you stop there, Chairman, if you don't mind? So I want to make sure.
Go back.
Yeah, Mr. Peel and I were just talking about it. I think more clarity needs to be had on these numbers. For example, the rectangular field of $850,000, is that to take an existing rectangular field and put artificial turf, or is it to create a whole new field from scratch?
That is to take an existing rectangular field. As a matter of fact, that estimate is for the Park West, so that's that's the Park West track. That estimate is for the Park West track of 91,500 square feet. And so that's an existing field, and they earn 50,000.
So if you did the math, the Park West football field, which is the other one besides the track, the square footage for the inside fence to fence was 97,000 something square feet. So that, just to do that football field, you're looking at over $909,000 just to do that. And that is to do a existing field turned into a synthetic field. If you're roughly looking at $9.29 per square foot, if you do it existing field. Right.
And the assumption is everything else, the fencing, the security, everything is already in place because we're converting grass to synthetic, right?
You're correct. However, if you want to look at security more for access, we only have a 4-foot section fence at either one of those facilities. So if you wanted to go taller, then that'll be an additional charge on top of that.
Okay. Is it recommended? Do you need more security for these type of fields because any damage is that much more?
And they do it at the other facilities. Yeah. Following their lead, they do that.
From the last presentation I did, all the locations I went to had signs. Mm-hmm. And every sign of them says anywhere from food to product to shoes to whatever. I actually, when I took my picture from the last presentation, I had to take it through the fence because I couldn't enter it. It was all locked up. They're saying that your warranty is 8 years. However, your warranty is only the last 8 years depending on how you maintain it and how you control it. Yes, there is another place in Myrtle Beach. It's called Doug Shaw, I believe, and that's where they played the North-South at. And that's at a high school or a school environment. They do let the general public use that. But the condition of that field versus the condition of the other fields, in my opinion, it was night and day. You could see the wear and tear. But they allow the general public access to it.
The rules that were enforced basically off of the signs that they have at those other facilities were no gum, no drinks, no snacks, no portable chairs, no high heels.
So just to follow up on what Jody is saying about the use, and would that affect the insurance policy or claims? I mean, would a premium be susceptible to us not having the proper height fence, us not locking it proper, us not letting everybody use it type thing?
Well, the security and how you control the access is going to determine on how long the warranty or how long the product is going to hold up for. Yes, you can come in and make the necessary repair. So say someone, for example, came with a chair and it poked a hole in it. It can be repaired. And they're saying it's not. It can be repaired. I will use an example. The other day, football field Park West, police department arrested an individual for doing donuts on our football field. Has a fence around it. The gate's not locked, or someone gets access to it. There's your likelihood of vandalism.
Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry.
There's replacement costs. These are current replacement costs. I mean, they may change 8 years from now. But current replacement costs for the fields, following an 8-year warranty, and that may be had 8 years, and maybe 9, maybe 10. Following an 8-year warranty at some point, the turf has to be replaced. And the replacement cost is, current prices are between $5 and $5.50 a square foot. So generally for your rectangular fields, you'd be talking between $450,000 and $500,000. For the full-size diamond would be between $625,000 and $685,000. And for the diamond infill only would be between $100,000 and $115,000. And that's basically pulling out the turf, pulling out the carpet and the blades and replacing that. We have a maintenance cost comparison between the two. Annual natural turf maintenance costs, including labor, material, annualized equipment, total approximately $30,700 per field. These numbers provided by public services and what they spend on materials, supplies, labor, and the annualized equipment. For synthetic turf field, you do have a cost savings on maintenance. Your labor, only about $4,000. Repairs and materials, about $2,000. Annualized equipment is a little bit higher, and the reason for that is this estimate was based on annualized equipment for one field. Currently, the equipment for other fields is divided among all the different fields that they service. So the equipment that would need to be purchased, roughly $25,000 for one field, depreciated over a 5-year period at $5,000 a year. And then there's GMAX testing. That is impact testing that should occur for the fields at $3,500 a year. So your total is about $14,500 with an annual savings of $16,500 in maintenance costs. So some of the other pros of synthetic turf, some of the advantages of synthetic turf, is it does definitely improve drainage. The concern about rainouts, that kind of stuff, you have a synthetic turf field, as soon as it stops raining, you can get right back on the field. You can play in wet conditions, even in a light rain, you can play on the field. So it would reduce the number of rainouts on that field. Durability for continuous use. You can play on it all day, all night, throughout a whole weekend, and the durability, it holds up to the play, for continuous play over there. So over the course of a weekend, it would not have a negative impact. You'd have consistent field conditions. It would eliminate wear and tear in the high impact areas, in front of a goalie box or in front, in the middle of the field, areas that generally will wear out on a natural turf field. It eliminates those, and you have more consistent field conditions. And you have the reduced maintenance cost of approximately $16,500 a year. Some of the disadvantages or cons to synthetic turf, the initial cost, the expense of it. $850,000 to approximately $1 million with design and engineering, cost of the fence, and some of the other costs that were not included per field. And the replacement cost of $450,000 to $500,000 every 8 years. And when I say every 8 years, again, that may vary depending on control and usage and exposure to the elements. So if you want to control and keep people off, you might be able to, not keep people off, but control their access, control what they bring out there, and limit damage, you may be able to extend that time. A single field, or however many fields we do, the number of fields that are done, it serves a small fraction of the participants. You'll have a whole bunch of teams playing, you have a rain out, one field would become available as opposed to the other ones. It doesn't serve as many fields as you might be able to do.
What kind of a nightmare would that pose staff?
It would be an advantage. That wouldn't be
advantage. No, I mean just having one field open if the others are rained out and you've got... Who are you going to give the priority to, is my question.
Right. We would have to figure that out. But still having the advantage of one additional field that is available wouldn't be a negative thing for us. It would still be helpful. We'd still be able to play some games and get more people through our schedule. And that would be an advantage on those evenings or those times when we have playing on other fields. Access must be controlled. Rules must be enforced. There's no ground, no drinks, no snacks. Stuff we talked about earlier. It reduces some of the flexibility for use of the field for other sports or special events. Of course, depending on which markings you put on the field, if you have soccer, do you have full-size soccer, do you have smaller-size soccer, do you have men's lacrosse, you have women's lacrosse, you have football, you know, which sport you do. Also, something, for example, like Children's Day, we bring up equipment and stuff for Children's Day on the football fields currently. You wouldn't be able to do that sort of stuff. We're using for special events as currently done. There are higher surface temperatures that are a concern. It can be hotter on the field. And then there are concerns. I'm not going to say whether to what degree they are justified or not, but there are some concerns from the public about exposure to carcinogen components. Some alternate options for improving our ability to continue games, reduce the number of rainouts, is to expand the use of Cambridge drainage, approximately $75,000 is on the high end. Last year, we were able to get five fields done, roughly around $300,000, is that correct?
It was 371 for five fields last year.
For fields needing additional drainage improvement, which is the situation that we have, that we've seen on the football field, the Carolina Green has a recommendation of performing sand slit injections. In essence, what they do is they have a 3/4 inch wide trench that's 4 to 8 inches deep every 10 inches across the entire field. So these run perpendicular to the direction of the Cambridge. I can show you a picture quickly.
What did we do out at Woods Flowers Fields just this year?
Yes, what we did this year is we put the Cambridge drainage system in.
So that was the Cambridge?
That was the Cambridge. That was a line about every eight feet. Right. And it went the whole way from sideline to sideline of the field and went into a collection system.
So this we haven't done this before.
This we have not done. And this is the solution after talking to Carolina Green. He thought that this would help us tremendously on the football field at Park West. It's around $20,000, and this is something that we've never done before, and it's a procedure that can be done. And what we've seen with the drainage on the Cambridge and the football field has helped, and this will actually get the water to the Cambridge a little bit quicker than it's presently now.
Well, they've looked at this field.
They looked at it, yes. I had Chad Price, who's the owner of Carolina Green, come down and meet with us and tour some of our facilities, and these are the suggestions he came up with. I'd like to go back to one of these slides, and I think you need to know this, when it talked about temperature. The conversation we have with Chad Price, he puts the synthetic turf around the country. I mean, for professional and college collegiate. He does this as a living. And one thing he said, I want y'all to know about the Grand Park. You see, when Grand Park has their tournaments, they don't start their tournaments in the middle of the day, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, because it gets too hot. They start their tournaments in the later part of the day and go later into the night, because the temperature that gets on these fields are so hot that it actually puts blisters on the field. That is said, that is critical that you need to know that, because it has an effect on play. You think you can play 24 hours? Well, you really can't. During the hot months of Mount Pleasant, it does take effect on the people playing. And it is a safety issue too. He threw out some numbers. The one thing was like 30 degrees hotter at a certain level. And I just want to make sure that you think you can play 24 hours around the clock. Technically, you can't during summer months.
Thank you. Go ahead. Can you explain that?
I sure can. Yeah. The Cambridge system runs across the width of the field, every 7 feet across the width of the field. This is the existing system that we have right now, every 7 feet in the same direction as football lines, on the width of the field. This system will run perpendicular to that, and every 10 inches, it puts a 3/4 inch trench filled with sand injected slit, that gives the water that is between those 7 foot Cambridge drainage lines, they give them a way to get to those Cambridge drainage lines. And most of the fields, or the ones at Sherwood Flowers, it hasn't been necessary. It drains to them very well, it gets the water off the field, and it doesn't hold the water like a sponge, like I said, it doesn't hold it so much. The soil conditions on the football field does hold the water a bit more, and this will give it a way to get between those 7 foot lines, between the 7 foot Cambridge lines, they'll get it over there through the sand slits.
Is that a contractor's sand they use, or do you know?
It's a finer grain products in. And what it is the technique, these things are about 8 inches deep, and they're about 3/4 inches wide. So what you're actually doing is giving you a more of a drain feel for the water to work through and get into something in order to travel to down the distance and in order to find the drainage that's actually in place. And, you know, what I've seen on Patriots Point with the Cambridge, that thing has worked surprisingly well, in my opinion. I was, like, shocked. I said, I can't believe they're actually playing the next day when usually it's 5 or 6 days. But talking to Chad and with his experience, I believe this is what will definitely help Park West football field and solve the issue that we're presently seeing right now.
Anything else, Steve?
Yeah, I'm right ahead. So this sand injection is for a football field because it seems like it might affect the surface a little bit, maybe. I never played soccer, but it seems like it might affect the ball rolling across it, or does it level off? Does the grass cover the slip? Or what?
Mr. Haney, if you saw when we put the Cambridge system in, you would see little white lines going across, and they're probably, I would say, about 4 inches in width. We put that in, I want to say, July the 1st, somewhere around the first part of July. I would say by August 1st, you couldn't even tell it was there. These are even smaller.
So the object is for them to get grown over.
Yes. Okay. And it's just a way for the water to perk through the soil and through the ground down.
Okay, so you're going to end up with an extremely level field that you're not looking at. That's the installation point right there.
That is why I was like,
this little line right here?
Yeah.
Grass will cover that. 2 weeks later, you'll never know it's there.
Yeah.
Now, you will see a little bit of sand residue. We do that anywhere top dress though. So that will disappear.
The Carolina Park fields, what kind of soil conditions are out there on the ones not done yet?
What's not done yet?
The land that we want to build the addition.
It's very poor soil. It's like clay. I mean, it doesn't perk at all. I mean, it's nasty. In order to do anything at Carolina Park, you're probably going to have to bring in a type of soil and use. That soil out there is basically what we call burgeoning soil. It's what's there, what you have. And in order to actually improve that, you're going to have to bring in a quality material to help with the drainage because it's not going to work. There's areas out there we can't even mow right now because it's nothing but mud.
Question, Paul? Well, the cost differential is significant. Anybody you want to say anything?
This is your
baby, so I figured you have.
Well, yeah, it is because you know I've coached for a long, long time, and the rainouts kill us. I mean, it really hurts parents who have to rush home and grab their child and go somewhere and have the field drained out. Not only that, but they have to take them down. I know she didn't put the time that you took down the fields, take them down every year. So they can grow back. So if you add those in, how many days is that? Is it like a month?
It goes about approximately 2.5 to 3 months in the summertime and 6-8 weeks in the winter.
Okay, so you add that with the rainouts, fields are down. You can't play on. And so what we're trying to do is, I'm trying to have continuous playing. I don't have to bring in tournaments. You know, we have, for instance, our track. You know, we've talked about this before because council voted to try and have some more track meets come in. We haven't had one track meet since we did that. The key is we have the infrastructure of the ground, but we're not using it. If we bring in these turf fields, we're able to bring in tournaments. We don't have to worry about the rainouts. I remember a couple of years back, they had a soccer tournament here. It rained, and we wanted to take the fields down, but they fussed so much about it, we let them play, and they destroyed the field over at the Jones Center. For those of us who are here, remember that. So that's one of the issues we're having is not only does it rain out the fields, but they take them down. So we're losing months, a year, for our kids to be out there playing. Not only that, but it pushes back our recreation season. In football, when you have rainouts, the football season blends into the basketball season now. The basketball coaches want their kids in the gym. They don't care about football. So now the parent and the kid has to make a decision. Do I finish football or do I play basketball? So that's another thing that really hurts us is that our seasons kind of blend into each other instead of having scheduled seasons that stop and start when they're supposed to be. There was another field up there we played on in Rock Hill that was a turf field, and the nut field was fantastic. I didn't even know it was turf until I really walked out on it for a while and didn't realize it. I thought it was grass, but it wasn't. And so Charleston Southern just put a turf field up there as well. So I think there's other fields around South Carolina that are using it and we just haven't seen yet or didn't go look at it. But clearly, if we're serious about recreation, if we're serious about allowing our kids to play year-round, I think we need to take this step. At least try one field or two fields if we can to see what we think about it. But it certainly will allow our recreation program to keep their schedule and not be rained out. You know? And like I said, when you take down fields for a month at a time, 2 months, whatever it is, he was saying, plus you add your rainouts to it as well. We have a rainy season. It really affects our recreation programs. I'm speaking as a coach and as a parent that I've seen it for 37 years doing this. I think it'll help us a lot, but it'll also help us, we talked about this, help about bringing in tournaments where we can bring some revenue in. We can bring in some revenue in for our restaurants and our hotels and for our local businesses here. Right now, it's hard, it's a flip of a coin because if it rains, our fields get destroyed. So I think it's a good chance. I'd at least like to try one. And I really think that if we did the football field out of Park West, let's see how that works. See if we like it. And if it works, and if we do like it, we could add more if we want to. But I think we need to take that next step. If we're serious about recreation, if we're serious about keeping our programs intact, if we're serious about taking care of our citizens who are put out because of rainouts, you know, and their kids not being able to play or play a full season because of rainouts and taking no ball fields down. I know, like I said, I know he talked about the rainouts, but when you look at how many times they take up ball fields down to grow the grass, you know, our kids aren't playing on the fields, they're sitting there doing it, nothing, you know. So that's why I really would like to see at least one field be considered on there. Let's give it a shot and see, Eric, we talked about it. You said it might be able to find some money in the budget to be able to do one field. I think we ought to do it, and let's take a shot at it and look at it.
Well, that's my next question, Eric. You talk about the funding of it. Because that's significant. And,
yes, sir. We've got different options. But I would just say that if you wanted to reach it, we'd reduce the number of Cambridge drainage systems that we have planned for next year, the 500,000 there. Now, some of that's in different pots of money, but let's say you can glean a couple hundred thousand out of that. We ask you to tap accommodations tax, probably for $250,000, hospitality tax for $250,000. And now you're getting the ballpark.
And Gary and I looked at the money going away for Carolina Park. The money we received for that. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. That goes to...
That's already spoken for.
That goes towards the bond for 17 million.
Okay.
We could piece it together if that was council's wish to find a way.
Mr. Smith had his hand.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mark Smith, 2716 Cambridge. I'd like for Gary to restate what he said earlier because I didn't quite get all his points. I would concur with Gary in the support of let's try one field as a parent of the full disclosure purposes of a lacrosse player and having played on the field that was referenced in Rock Hill. It's a spectacular facility. Yes, it does absolutely, Jody, and everybody pointed out all the pros as well as all the cons. It's not a perfect solution. Life is not perfect, but I think we can certainly be a step in the right direction so we can experience it for ourselves. Let's try one and see what happens.
Any other discussion? I'm sorry.
That's fine. Linda Page, 1458 Short Street. Just a couple of issues. One, we are in this budget year, 2017. Looking at a long-range recreation plan. Are we not there? So we're creating a master plan. So I'd be certainly more than willing to continue to have a conversation when we have a better goal what we're doing it. My concerns have not changed. Expense, heat hazard, environmental hazard, possible health risk. More than anything, the issue of the closed fields. I live next to a golf field, and it's great, and they use it as a dog park, and they use it as a frisbee park, and that field is all day long. People are out there. And these are locked up closed fields. They can only really be striped for one sport, so the closed field park is a big problem for me. I just don't know that that really is the face of all of our recreation. Of course, life expectancy, now we've heard over turf, over real grass. How old are our oldest fields, Jody? Our oldest grass fields?
Center field would be the oldest. That's probably at least 25 years old.
It's older than that.
Paul, what field did you play on as a kid that's still around?
The ones that are still there. Every field is still there.
The one by you. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you know, so those fields have been around for my lifetime. You know, we played on them as kids. You know, so there's my challenge. You know, it's got 8-year life expectancy, we think. I mean, there's some real problems. But I'm more than willing to have the conversation and continue the conversation during the long-range planning process. Because if we're going to have to cobble together budget money when we have so many other needs, it's just challenging.
Well, and I don't think we should sacrifice the Cambridge system on our other fields.
And I like the new system.
Yeah, for the football field, I think that we ought to give that a shot. My other problem with it is kind of the social aspect of our soccer games. I go to a lot of these kid games in the cut-up fields, but it's a social affair. People are bringing lawn chairs out there. There's no restriction to the parents and how they want to view their kids. They're out there having a good time, and we're going to restrict them from not being able to take beach chairs out there. They can't wear certain types of shoes. I mean, all that kind of just bothers me. I mean, I think you'd have some pushback from the parents. They're going to say, well, I want Jody to play on the non-synthetic field. Well, you know, that's another aspect of it that I think needs to be thought about, because I've been to many of these games, and man, it's like a, you know, wow, I haven't seen you this week. Where were you last week and all that?
It's like a horse race. Yeah.
No. Steve, last month or 2 months ago, you talked about this. We asked you to tell us what field it was not utilized as one of our contracted sports fields. What field received the most use? So are you saying that the football field at Park West or the field inside the track at Park West? I'm talking about year-round, multi-sports level.
Well, we were looking at the fields that are most in need of a turf field because of current drainage issues. So that's how we were determining the ones that we were looking at. The track field at Park West is in desperate need of improved drainage. As well as field floors.
All right, because I asked that question, that's okay. Let me ask you this. The football field at Park West, okay, is that the main field there? Got nice bleachers, nice score. When football is not being played there, what's it being utilized for?
It's utilized for lacrosse. We play soccer out there mostly football and lacrosse.
Right. And you know, football is a limited window.
Right. So football occurs in the fall. We have not had a problem. We finished our seasons on time. Have we not finished our seasons on time? Our seasons have finished on time. We're under pressure to do it. We're being creative with our scheduling to do it. Because of rainouts. But we have been able to finish our seasons on time.
Yes, sir. What I like is the aspect of contingency planning for others coming here, for our own things. And if we had one, we would have a backup plan. And if you were looking at having a tournament somewhere else or here, and you knew that, hey, if it rains for 2 days, they've at least got a backup field that's synthetic turf. I like that aspect of it. I think it could be good for business development, bringing people here. And I like that. Good for our own use. What I don't want to do is do it at the expense right now. I mean, it might take a year, it might take 2 years to plan towards it. I don't want to do it at the expense now of repeating something that, like another Cambridge system or something like that. So I like it. I want to move forward with the concept. The financing of it, maybe get back to us with the answer.
All right. Let me get back to where I'm going, and I appreciate that. Back to that football field at Park West, that main football field. We use it for football, and it's also utilized for lacrosse. They're played at separate times. It's lacrosse lags behind football, naturally. In high school, I know that it does that. So that's, is it lacrosse, is it the town of Mount Pleasant's lacrosse that uses it, or is it also the private lacrosse clubs that use that field as well?
It's the Paramount Pleasant that I use it. Do we have any rentals for the football? I don't believe we have any rentals on that at all.
All right. And you'll probably think this question is strange, but do we know the number of lacrosse players we have within the town versus the number of lacrosse players that are private club?
I have participation numbers for the within the town.
Okay. Where I'm going with all this, thinking out loud, we've always had success with partnerships and starting something somewhere. I realize you got to get into the pick and choose business. My mind is open to moving into this field. I'd always said before that I'm not interested in doing it where it's a field where we're under a contract with like a soccer or lacrosse type thing. But looking at these numbers are huge numbers. And if I want to try it, and I'm coming back to, because Gary, I hear you. I know the soil well, Jody, at the Park West football field. I mean, God, I lived in Dunes West for 10 years. But if we can't figure out a way to incorporate a public-private deal there with that field and bring in lacrosse, then it's our model. Now, I realize, again, I'm just thinking out loud, they're going to create a mess, but the soccer people are going to go nuts. Well, you know, the model's right, just like we did years ago with bringing in our club sport. Then it works. Then we can do another field possibly at Carolina Park. You know, guys, y'all want to have a field out there? You have exclusive use of this field? This is what it's going to cost you. Again, I'm just putting it out there for us to chew on. Because I'm looking at all these numbers and I'm going, and Eric, you know, you're, well, you can take $100,000 here. You can not do the field over here. Yeah, anything's possible. But wow. If I could figure out, we could figure out how to get some private help with this. That's the way I'd like to go.
You know, we've had early discussions, the mayor and a couple of us have had early discussions with the private clubs on the soccer side. And they're looking for 10 more fields.
Oh, yeah.
10.
I know. And if you get one of these, all of a sudden that eliminates 5.
You know, Mr. Chairman, for the sake of time, the committee wishes, we can always put a recommendation for you for a turf field and a funding plan with it for consideration of your budget committee. That'll give you time to think about it, and we'll have it ready for you in case you want to pull the trigger on it. It'll be all done.
That's fine with me. I think I like that.
I like that. You want a motion?
Well, are we going to talk specifics or just put it in the second budget?
I think what we'll do is, we'll just have it ready for you. We'll say, hey, this is the budget you have now. There's always likely to be a couple of items that are going to be in front of you to address anyway at that budget committee meeting. Just outlier, things are still hanging around. This would be one of them. Say, hey, there's been discussion on a turf field, so much it's going to cost. It'll be probably 2 to 3 weeks from now, give you time to think about it, and if you want to pull the trigger.
Did the full council get this presentation?
I did not send it to unless Nancy or somebody else pulled it.
Everybody got it?
Nancy got it, everybody.
Okay.
Mr. Gorsuch, I might want to help you out with the amount of play in different sports. When I did go to Myrtle Beach, there was a football field that I looked at, had football lines, had lacrosse lines, and had girls soccer lines and soccer, and had men's soccer lines. So I'd have all the lines on it, so please know that when you add a full set of signs, these are the ones from $8,000 to $10,000 for the striping of each sport.
Right.
So you can put the lines out there, and you can play multiple sports on it. You
got to
remember, you're going to see a lot of lines when
they get
done.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I thought of that. My spot's limited it to 2.
Since we're honing in on that field, how do we protect that field?
How do we protect
what
field, sir?
The football field.
We protect it right now by a 4-foot fence. If we were to protect it and want to keep it off limits, then we would need to go to something taller, in my opinion.
Okay. All good stuff, guys. Thank you, Steve.
Anything else? Just to make sure I understand the direction. For us to put together a proposal, that would be for the football field or the track field? The cost estimates were primarily on the track field.
I think we're talking about the football field.
Okay.
What would the stadium be with
the multi-use
football field? It is already the most protected field. Parents do a good job of not trying to get over that thing.
So do we need a motion for that?
Yes, please.
All right.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And sir, if you want us to, you can defer the updates for the sake of the planning committee?
Yes.
Okay.
Zero.
You have the numbers for your information.
Yeah.
Anything else? We stand adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.